I'm at Fuji Film HQ in Bedford, sat with Mark Horner. That's Mark with a C, Mark Horner on Twitter. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. And it's nice to be able to pop in, because you're not too far away from where I live, and look at what is a rare beast at the moment, the Fujifilm X-Pro2. How many of these are there in the country?
There's probably maybe 10 or 12 of them in total. We have a few of ex-photographers that have been using them for all very early prototypes, but there's no final versions at all yet.
There's nothing I can buy today.
I'm afraid not, mate.
When are they actually coming out?
We're expecting them mid-February.
I had the X-Pro1 briefly and then found that my particular workflow, i.e. stick a camera in my pocket and run around, meant that I ended up with the X100. And on the whole, the X series seems to have gone from strength to strength. There was loads of excitement about an update to the X-Pro1. How many years has it been?
It's been 4 years since the original X-Pro1, which obviously back then we had three prime lenses. It was a 27, a 50 and a 90 mil equivalence. But now we have, I think, 21 lenses in total. So the whole range has matured massively. And the X-Pro2 is really the first camera that's had the largest evolution compared to the previous ones, where we've obviously now got a 24 megapixel faster sensor than the previous versions.
Now, my enthusiasm about the X-Pro series was rekindled very recently, actually, when chatting to David Hearn, seeing on his side table two X-Pro ones, and then hear him talk about why he switched from Leica to Fujifilm, mainly around the viewfinder, and the viewfinder made it very easy for him to see exactly what was in frame when he was switching between his 28 and his 50mm lens. I've got him on audio saying he's very excited about the X-Pro2 as well. So, and looking at what you've done to the X-Pro2, obviously not you personally, do you know actually the person involved?
I do know a lot of the team personally. They're a great bunch, and they're all absolute photo geeks and photo enthusiasts. Mr. Weno, who is actually responsible for the X-Pro2 product, he was over a few weeks ago, and we had got to spend some time with him. But he's a real classic 35mm film guy. You know, he shoots with a Leica film camera, obviously on Fujifilm, and that's what he wanted to bring to this camera. This is the reason why he wanted, when you think of that sort of rangefinder style 35mm camera, it's the same sort of size as the X-Pro1, X-Pro2. It's not the same sort of size as what we see in digital terms, a full frame DSLR. So really this camera is almost like he's a child in a candy shop, where he gets to create the thing that he wants to shoot with, because he always enjoyed shooting 35mm rangefinder, and that's exactly what you're getting here, although obviously technology means that it's better, even with a smaller physical size sensor. You're able to get smaller lenses now, because you're not limited by the size of the actual part that's taking the images. And this is his dream camera, basically, that we all get to use as well. So it's made by a photographer with lots of feedback and input from other photographers. So it's great when we hear that other photographers, people like David, are really looking forward to using it.
And it's interesting you say made with the influence from photographers, because when you look at the forums, a DP review I was on recently, and someone was just talking about how it appears that Fujifilm is one of the only camera brands that seems to listen to its users out there in the field. And I don't know how the diopter setting came about, but that is going to be a big selling point to a lot of people who haven't been able to adjust a diopter setting. How did that come about?
Well, yeah, that is just one of many bits of feedback that we've had over the years. I mean, we actually have, I think, maybe two or three kind of what we call ex-photographer meetings, where our product planning team actually sits down with a selected group of photographers from all over the world. I've been fortunate enough to be present for three of them in total, two in Japan and one here in the UK. And it's simply a matter of asking them, look, what's wrong with our products? What don't you like about our products? What can we improve? And every time we've done these, the following generation of products has always included all of these enhancements. There was one blog that we have on our UK blog, which it describes a time where we were able to spec out the X100T. They told us what they would like to do, and we told them what things we wanted to do. I say we, it was mostly the photographers, but I like to think I did contribute somewhat. And then within 9 months, there was a product on sale that had these enhancements, had these changes. And it's fantastic that we're able to be agile enough to adopt our products to our users' needs. At the end of the day, that's the people that are buying the cameras are the ones that need to design the cameras. I think one of our advantages of being smaller than our competitors is that we're able to change and adjust quicker. And I think it goes to show with the growing fan base that the Fujifilm X series has.
Actually holding the camera now has, again, rejuvenated my passion for what is a very comfortable design. I was a little bit uncertain being left-handed. Not that you take photos very much with your left hand, it's more cupped around the lens, but as to why the screen had been shifted right over to the left or extended over to the left. But now it totally makes sense to me, having all of your buttons in some ways consolidated when you need those buttons, and none of the ones that were kind of on the outer casing easy to knock, which again was something that is possible if you are, you know, totally lost in the moment and not paying attention to what is very effectively a complicated box with a hole in it. You talked about the technology a minute ago. How do you feel about the technology on this particular camera? Because when you talk about the hearkening back to retro, I really like the little ISO window, which is within the shutter wheel. It speaks a lot of not having to drill down too much into the menu.
Yeah, well, that's it. The technology is really important, but the technology, almost apart from obviously the final image quality, the technology is there to kind of make your life easier and not have you even notice that it is there. I mean, with this camera, despite the fact that obviously all of the dials are electronic and attached to switches, it does feel like using a film camera. I've shot film a few times over the last, say, year, just as a trial, because I've not been into photography myself for that long, and I really enjoyed the experience. And the first time I ever took this camera home with me, which was just before Christmas. Normally, when I take a camera home from Fuji, obviously I get to do that quite often with new products, which is a nice perk of the job. But normally I will sit there and I'll set the auto ISO and I'll probably put it on aperture priority and set some film simulation modes, highlight shadow tones, etc. And I might spend 10 minutes or so just setting up the camera how I'm used to it. Something was different with this camera. I can't really explain it, but I didn't touch the camera at all until I went to use it. And I took my children down a country park that's near our house and I picked the camera up, and while I was walking, while the camera was off, I set the ISO to 200 and put the shutter speed on 1/125 because I was using a 50mm lens, and looked at how sunny it was, thought, yeah, probably about f4. And then the first time I even held the camera up to my eye was literally just to take one quick light check and then turn it back off again. And then carried on walking, got to where we were going, and maybe shot maybe 10 or 12 frames. I didn't shoot very often. I wasn't shooting quickly by any means, but I was thinking about what I was doing, and I was just trying to tell stories, just trying to enjoy the enjoy the experience that I was doing without thinking about the camera. I'd say I was enjoying using the camera, but only because I didn't really feel that it was there. I didn't really notice it. And then what I was left with was some nice memories of just an afternoon out with the children. And I hadn't even realized what I did until I got to work and I handed the camera over to a different colleague, and he held it up to his eye and he says, "Oh, you shoot..." We were inside, so the screen was black. He says, "Oh, you shoot full manual." And it was almost not necessarily a criticism, but it almost felt like he was saying that, you know, "Oh, you look at you, you shoot full manual. Who do you think you are?" And until that point, I hadn't even realized that I'd shot full manual. It didn't concern me. The only thing, I just enjoyed using the camera, and it did remind me very much, now I think about it, of the time where I was using the film camera, where I really slowed down what I was doing. And you know, it's not that I have to, the camera is very fast, but I chose to. That's how I chose to shoot, and that's how I chose to capture those memories, and that's how I chose to tell the story, albeit fairly dull story, but obviously those images will have value to me and my family, and especially in years to come when my children have grown up. But it's just a different experience, and I think that's a really important part of this camera, and we've had that as a lot of feedback. It's that thing that you can't really tell in a spec table. It's there's something enjoyable about it, and as strange as that may sound, I think so many different people share that same message. Many people, like you said the word passion before, many people switch to Fujifilm because they realize that they love taking shots still, especially professionals that got bored of, they can't take their big DSLRs out with them all the time because it's their work tool, but their X100S or X100T just sits on the table and goes with them everywhere. And that's something that Fujifilm has prided itself, we pride ourselves on making people in love photography still.
And this to me is in some ways a step closer to film, because I have also been going out taking some film recently, but it's a pain in the butt. Really is, especially when it comes to the fact that I can't chimp and look at every picture that, after I've taken it. I actually really enjoy that, being present, being in the moment, slowing everything down. It's a pain in the butt finding a good person to print my stuff, that's not going to cost the price of a cheap digital camera for every film that I'm producing. So for me, I'm waiting for that little box I can have in the kitchen next to the microwave, where I drop the film in the top, and the negs and a thumb drive gets loaded, and maybe some prints if I want them get sent to my wireless printer. When is that coming? Come on, desktop.
I'm not sure there's a huge demand for such a product, unfortunately, these days.
Oh, come on, someone's just brought out an 8mm film camera.
We do have some film. We have the Instax, the instant film.
But we've
unfortunately global demand. I mean, I'm not really one to speak on behalf of Fujifilm in this sense. But
you're not going to do a desktop, film in the
film
top
processor. No,
that'd be awesome.
like I say, global demand has just meant that's not really an area that we focus on these days. Certainly not in development.
It would be probably taking the convenience aspect to that step too far as well. We do seem to want things as easy as possible, and it's interesting how putting the dials and the controls on the outside of the camera is in some ways a return to that. You not having to go into the menu and navigate what is probably the same menu system that the X-Pro1 had, but without having to go through your custom settings, which for me, I don't do that, because when I turned up here with my very trusty first time I've ever kind of bought a camera and not questioned the price, my X100T, which was an upgrade to an X100S, which, full disclosure, very kindly you lent me for me to go and do a project in Syria. I appreciate that, and that led me to go on and buy the T. I just give it you, and in 2 seconds you've set up some awesome black and white settings, so that when I am exporting my images from the camera to my phone, with it being a T, it is a network lens, I've got my black and white image without me having to then go into Snapseed and do some stuff. So I appreciate that. Where can I go and learn more about how to set up a camera to give a particular, for example, film effect?
Well, on our blog, which is Fujifilm blog, or possibly fujifilm-blog.com. I can't remember, apologies.
You love your hyphens and your underscores. Yeah. I know that much.
So on our, you can Google Fujifilm blog. We do have various tutorials and things, in particular film, like how to use film simulation modes, because going back to what you said before about film, we have got a long heritage of these films, and a lot of people like the effects that certain ones give. So that's something that has been very popular in our cameras, is that you can use the film simulation modes that replicate similar modes that you could, or certainly films that you used to be able to use. So yeah, but no, our blog is probably at the moment the best place to go for information on setting up the camera, different settings and different functionality. But we're also planning to sort of set up some workshops and things that will probably be held in our head office here in Bedford to help people get more out of their cameras.
That sounds great. Just put my name down for one. My visit here, though, even though it is a mere 30 minutes away, is tainted with a little bit of disappointment. Can you tell what that disappointment might be?
Absence of the X70.
Where's the X70?
It's unfortunately that I don't even have a test one for you to look at. We do have a couple, but they're doing the rounds with our sales team at the moment. But I share your passion for that camera. That is actually probably going to be the first camera that I actually buy with my own money, simply because that camera is going to live mostly in my saddlebag on my bike, because when I'm out in the morning and I see these sunrises that I miss, in the beautiful Bedfordshire countryside, and I'm not even being sarcastic. There are some very, very lovely places around here. I want a camera that is as good quality as my X100S, which is my trusty go anywhere camera, but unfortunately too big to fit in my bike saddlebag or to be on my person while I'm going for a run. But yeah, I think the X70 is going to be an amazing camera, and I think in actual fact it may have been overshadowed by the X-Pro 2, but I think a lot of people see that as the really big announcement that we announced in January.
You'll be surprised. I saw the X70 and I did kind of go straight to look at the X-Pro 2, and it was three people. I think Uncle Wilco might have been one of them in my Twitter feed, who said, check out the X70, and I had another look and I'm like, oh my giddy on it. And you just mentioned it's the same quality as the X100S.
X100T, sorry. It's basically the X100T. It's got the same sensor, it's got the same processor inside the camera there, so same speed, everything. The only difference is you don't have a viewfinder, but you do have a fully rotated, 180-degree tilting LCD screen, which, depending on how you're shooting, if you're shooting from the hip, for example, which a lot of street shooters will like.
Or landscapes,
when you've got it on a tripod, it's going to be actually better than using your viewfinder.
I'm going to use the word selfie. Can you shoot selfies with it?
It is the absolute ultimate selfie camera.
Oh,
yes.
God, don't market it as that.
the EDC, the everyday carry, because that's what's appealing to me. There are times when I don't take anything but my phone out, but if it is a tiny bit smaller, I mean, I've got the X100T in my pocket today because I'm wearing a jacket, but come the summer...
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. My X100S goes with me. If I've got a coat on and I take a trip, even if it's just a meeting in London, I will take that with me because I never know what I'm going to see. And it probably never comes out of my pocket, but it's there. The X70, that will be with me everywhere. That can fit in a very, very light jacket, coat. You could probably stick it in your jeans pocket as long as you're not wearing too skinny jeans.
And there's people listening to this, if it's, you know, if they're still listening at like almost 20 minutes, which is a long time for me, excuse the passion and the interest, they're going, well, I've got a phone. And I've said this 1,000 times. 90% of the time, my phone camera, my iPhone, in this case, iPhone 6S, is going to grab the image that I want or need. I have realised, though, there's 10% of the time when I really want the image and I can't do it, and that limitation is freaks me out, because it can be a big one in low light, for example.
Yeah, low light, definitely. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right, and there's no I can't exactly deny it. The iPhone in particular, but yeah, smartphones these days, they're taking great images in good light. But yeah, just drop the light levels, and you know from your own experience with the X100T, you're quite comfortable at 6400, 3200, there's absolutely zero noise whatsoever and a lot of clarity there. That's exactly what you're going to get from an X70. So you're never going to get that from the iPhone.
Oh, well, you can never say never.
Oh, you're never going to get that from your iPhone.
No, that's right. It's interesting that the innovation that's happening in mobile devices has caught up with camera technology of a few years gone by, and yet the innovation is still happening in the heavier duty, more pro tool.
Well, when it comes down to it, the mobile manufacturers, they can't defy physics. There is always light. There is always the amount of light that can pass through glass, the amount of maybe separation from the background using a shallow depth of field. You're never going to get a shallow depth of field out of, I say never again.
Yeah.
You could have a recreated shallow depth of field perhaps with an artificial blur. But yeah, I mean, the X70 is a serious camera tool, despite the fact that it's a very compact. It's got, you know, you've got manual aperture, manual shutter speed, exposure compensation, manual ISO, everything you can do manually, and you can also just leave it in auto and forget about the technical side and just worry about documenting your life. It's, you know, it's entirely up to you. So there is always, I think there will always be that place where for serious photographers that really, really care about the image quality, really, really care about what they're going to do with these images in the future.
Full control at the time of pressing the shutter.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, you never know what you're going to do with those pictures. And I know that, again, smartphones are better these days, but the story that we've heard many times from people that have had young children, and myself included, where you regret that you thought that you could get away with a much simpler device, and then afterwards those images are...
I've just spent... the price of a small camera on a number of very fancy picture frames, and I've gone through all my photos and I've got everything out and I've started printing to the best I can, and all the times when I've said it's fine, the phone's fine, you're only going to view it on a screen, and then I start printing and I'm like, oh my god, it's so obvious what was taken on a phone and what was taken on a camera, and that has kind of reminded me on how I need to have something decent in my pocket if I do really care about the images I'm grabbing. Some people might not care that much.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Printing is when the picture really becomes real. I saw the exhibition in Japan recently for the X-Pro 2 launch, and just walking around looking at those pictures, that's where the picture is. That's where it's complete. That's the end of the journey. And then especially if you put it within other pictures that tell a combining story. But no, I agree. I've done the same, where I've gone through my archive of pictures going back to when my first child was born, and you create a photo book and then you'll find how limited you are because you can only have
the
really
tiny... The small ones were taken on the
phone. Exactly. Yeah. And, or even, you know, before X series around, and I'd be using, you know, just like a fine pics, like a 4-megapixel camera or something like that, not really thinking of it. And at the end of the day, the most important thing is the memory, of course, but... It's just a bit of a disappointment when you come to do that print and you realise that you have to either make it really small or make it big and then just be slightly disappointed with the quality.
I don't want this to turn into you with your PR marketing head on, start reeling off all the printers and papers and wireless Bluetooth little printing devices, of which I do have one, to be honest. That you do, but there's this weird switch now to the physical object. The vinyl revival has obviously brought this back, with people wanting to see their music working in front of them, to actually see the music as it, you know, this record player spinning and all that tactility around that. Then you've got the drop in ebook sales, which is happening right now as more people seem to be shifting to the physical object, because publishers have suddenly cottoned on to, hang on, if we use really nice paper and really nice inks, then it's going to become a beautiful object. Do you see, as someone who Fujifilm in general, selling films and selling paper and selling printers, is there a resurgence to the physical object?
Well, to be honest, when it comes to prints, I think obviously there's been a decline, but that's because previously, to see your picture, you had to have it printed. So in terms of 6x4 images, then yes, there's been a big decline. But I think people understand the importance of what that big picture means to them when it's on their living room wall, or understand what it's like to have an album afterwards. And yes, there'll be... I think my own opinion is that more people are taking photos these days because smartphones have made photography much more accessible. But I think probably the same amount of people that as before are doing what they did with them before. You know, there is nothing like sitting down with a physical photo book and going through that, and or just an album with photos in it.
It's funny how you say photo book first, because I have created a photo book more often recently than I have done put photos in an album.
Yeah, and I'm the same. And I think, you know, that's taken off. And there's various different vendors. I won't promote any individuals. but yeah, I've created a few, and they make...
What's the cheapest photo book maker? Do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know? Because that would be useful. Because if you are going to do it...
I know that, I mean, I've seen £300-400 is the going rate now if you want your wedding printed, but that must be top, like, spec printing quality there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that cost probably comes into the actual creation of the book, nowadays there's lots of places like Photobox, for example, who have pretty good software online, and you do that bit yourself. And to me,
you keep offering me in spam emails £10 off every 5 minutes.
But to me, that's part of the experience. Like, if I give a photo book as a gift, I don't really, you know, I understand a wedding photographer, that's part of the package, but you know, I think it's more important to tell the story that I'm trying to tell through the images that I've taken. So I'll always make my own photo books, and even the most expensive is never going to come anywhere near £300 or £400 once if you've put the actual hard work into it.
I'm
inspired again now to shoot a bit of film, despite that very angry film fridge we've got humming around in the background there. It's always great to talk to you, and you know, I'm going to have to pop back down should there be a 70 to look at, to touch and feel like I have been. Banged it a bit hard then. The X Pro 2. When can I actually go to a shop and see them in a shop? Not that anybody goes to shops nowadays.
Well, they should definitely go to shops, because obviously independent retailers, they're the place to go, because these are the guys that will talk you through the product. But at the moment, we're expecting to get stock between the middle of February and the end of February. Hopefully all going well, that's when you should be able to go into a shop and get your hands on both.
Just after my birthday, bit of birthday money, I think.
Drop some hints.
Yeah. Mark, thanks very much. Where can people find you online?
Fujifilm_UK.
you tweet from the main account?
Usually.
Oh,
often.
Oh, I see. So send your abuse there.
or just @MarkCorner with a C, as you said before.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thanks very much for today.
No problem. Thank you.